Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Let's get to Jason Wilde, who was at 1265 yesterday. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We've gone off the rails a little bit here. We have a segment today called Silty, which is screw it, let's try it. We're just throwing out, you know, some outrageous, some pretty standard ideas just to shake the dust off of the offense that we have seen so far this year. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you come up with anything, screw it, let's try it, you know, because it can't be much worse than what we've seen, you let us know, okay?
The beer.
Okay. I mean, I've seen some high school programs that have been running the Veer lately.
Yeah.
Jason, let's get to yesterday at 1265. I know, you can tell we're all excited about the Veer as an option for the Veer Green Bay Packers. So we want to play this sound from Matt LaFleur because you did have an exchange with him about play calling. So Josh is going to cue up the sound from yesterday at Matt LaFleur's press conference.
Uh-oh.
Or not.
A problem.
Or not.
I can see
God,
it.
God, I was so good yesterday.
I can see it. I just can't hear it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
With Walter Cronkite.
Hold on. Maybe I can just air the audio.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
First of all, you're not going to give up play calling, I assume?
No.
I'm not suggesting you should.
Ah, but you kind of were.
No, I definitely wasn't. Because here's the question. Who on their staff are you sitting there going, oh, he'd be good to do that. Oh, he'd be good. Like, hey, let's have Luke Getsy do it, who got fired from two different offensive coordinator jobs. And that's why he's back here, right? Like, I don't think they have anyone else more qualified to do it. And frankly, you know, I understand that the last 2 weeks have been really bad, but like that doesn't strike me as a solution. So that's why I chose to phrase the question that way. Because then it sets up obviously the follow-up question, which we may or may not hear.
Jason, I don't know if you heard the nugget that.
Wait,
Chef
are we really not hearing the rest of that?
I don't think we are. I think Joshy's scrambling. We've got some technical issues going on right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to keep it in perspective, and it's week to week. And certainly, I mean, I promise you, as frustrated as anybody may be out there, I promise you, you're not as frustrated as I am. So, but I also got to keep, you know, I believe in our guys. And so, you know, it's all about just finding solutions, and I can't worry. What has happened in the past, it's happened, unfortunately. So there's no reason in just like beating yourself up over it. You better have a short-term memory, and you got to move on. Not to say that you don't take that into account. Certainly you study the tape, and you try to be critical of everything from yourself to just the play and all and everything in between. So yeah, we're working hard at it. I promise you, we're working hard, and you know, bottom line is, on Sunday we have to go out and perform better.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you,
Coach. Speak.
All right, am I supposed to say something now?
I think we're all confused. You called for the sound. Do you have any follow up on the sound that you heard from Matt LaFleur yesterday?
Yeah, no, I just wanted you guys to tell me how great of a job I did. That's the opposite of what I hear on social media.
How very chewy of you, by the way.
God, you are good, Wildy. God, you're my Jason.
Hey, everybody,
Wildy,
come and hear how good
hero.
I was.
Yeah, that's good, kid.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So I understand the frustration, and obviously so does LaFleur. I will say that I, in terms of what a great job I did yesterday, I did enjoy the exchange about being on the tablet on the sideline with his back toward the field as well. That was one of my other favorite moments. But I understand. I do. I take this. I know it sounds like we're goofing around right now, but I understand how deeply fans care about this. I totally get it, and I'm so thankful that they do, because that's what makes what we do relevant, right? I'm not sitting here curing childhood cancer. But I do think that if you ride the roller coaster to the degree that some folks do, you kind of need to be reminded of perspective, right? Including if you think back to some of the great seasons that the Packers have had, including one that the knucklehead that's on this show was on the team for. Like, we all knew you guys were a Super Bowl team in 96, right? We all knew you were ready to make that jump. You know, the previous year you'd gone to San Francisco and won. You had the lead in Dallas until, you know, Gil Haskell cracks his skull on the ground when he gets run over on the sideline. And the your arch enemies find a way to win once again. But you had that blip in the middle of the season where you not only lost back-to-back games, but you're losing to the St. Louis Rams at the TWA Dome, and you need Doug Evans' interception to kind of turn things around. And so I get it, and there's certainly disconcerting aspects. Again, 2010, another Super Bowl team. And by the way, I do not believe this year is a Super Bowl team. So I'm not saying that in the end there's going to be these parallels to those two championship teams. But, like, I was going to text Mike McCarthy today and ask him if he had a couple of minutes to come on our show at some point, because in 2010 they had built their offense around JerMichael Finley. And then JerMichael Finley tears his meniscus. They opt for season-ending surgery on his meniscus, and suddenly now they have to kind of reinvent their offense. Now, I don't think the Packers of 2025 had built their offense around Tucker Kraft to the same degree that McCarthy had with J. Mike, who some on the panel questioned his wisdom and sharpness, but they do have to make adjustments now, because as we saw on the 3rd and 10 play, Luke Musgrave is not Tucker Kraft. We're not even having the conversation about the 4th and 1 follies of call a timeout, run a quarterback sneak, inside zone over here, inside zone over here. We're not having any of that if that's Tucker Kraft, because he runs that dude over and gets the first down. So I understand the frustration. I do, and I'm not poo-pooing that. I am a little irritated by the folks who felt like, I can't reach Matt LaFleur and yell at him, so I'm going to go after the media that doesn't ask tough enough questions, and people who are posting the photo of LaFleur coming to the Cheesehead TV house and taking a picture with all those guys, which I'm not in, for the record. I did have a problem with that, but I get the frustration. I'm really, really, really eager to see how Sunday goes. Because for all of the Giants' problems, and there are many, the fact that, A, they're going to get a bump from firing the coach, you see it all the time, and B, their front four is really good at rushing the passer. They got a bunch of first-round picks across the front. That is going to be a challenge for this now reconfigured offensive line. I just feel like this is a game where we're going to find out a lot about the trajectory of this team. Do they play down to the quality of the opponent? Can the offensive line handle their pass rush? They're not very good against the run. Can they run the ball effectively, finally, after all these times where they've been so inconsistent? And are they going to play not mistake-free football, but reduced mistake football and come out with a win? Because God knows they need it after the way the last 2 weeks have gone.
Jason,
the offensive line, who's in if someone goes down?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who goes down, right?
Well, Jacob Monk would go to center, right? What about the other four positions? Who's the next man in?
So I there's a couple of issues here, right? Because I think what they've tried to do now, Steno was telling us a couple of weeks ago, that instead of doing the have one guy who does everything guy, like J-Mo was, they've kind of decided, well, we're going to designate clear-cut backups. Now, again, I don't know if that's better or worse. That, to me, says after their top six, they figure everybody else is kind of the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing Darian Kennard, if something happens to Zach Tom. I'm guessing Anthony Belton, if something happens to Rashid Walker. You know, the guard thing, I don't know if it would be Belton or not if one of the guards went down, because this, to me, that's the spot where you're nervous, right? I mean, I don't know how you're not about that group, because to your point, you're one more injury away
mm-hmm.
from really having a situation where you don't feel great. I mean, I don't know Donovan Jennings very well, but Gabe, you know what I'm going to say next. The fact that he was taking first team reps in the off season, and when somebody asked LaFleur what they thought of him, LaFleur didn't know that Donovan Jennings had taken first team reps that day. So I don't think they saw him as a particularly realistic starter if they're giving him first team reps and they're not really noticing. So he would handle the guard spots next. And then I believe we've covered everybody that's available on the offensive line at this point. So, you know, this is the old Ted thing too. Like, you always think you're deep until you're not, and you're a couple of sprained ankles away from being thin. They were just an Elton Jenkins broken leg away from really being thin. We always felt like they had a good top six, even though their offensive line hasn't played that great this year. But they had, you know, they felt really good about having Jordan Morgan, who could do everything. Now that's not the case, because he's got to play right guard, because now their right guard is playing center.
Jason, I want to push back on the designing the offense around Tucker Kraft, because this offense is clearly designed around one person, and it's Josh Jacobs. They changed the way they run the football. They changed the way they block when they run the football. A lot of people's frustration of running out of shotgun comes down to he's more comfortable running out of shotgun. Because we've had some texts like, oh, it's 4th and 1. Why aren't you under center trying to? Because Josh Jacobs wanted to run the ball out of shotgun, and they want to make him as comfortable as possible. Is it tougher to come up with solutions because they drastically changed how they did something for a certain player, and now when they're struggling to do those certain things, it's tougher to come up with answers because LaFleur can't just go, oh, when we've struggled running the football under this type of offense, we can just go do this, this, and this. Whereas now everything's been changed up, it's tougher to come up with answers because he doesn't have as much experience running an offense where this and how they block it is the focal point.
Yeah, I want to say first, that's a great point. Second, you're such a jerk. Well, you know what I meant. I meant that they designed their passing game.
Sure, sure.
To focus on Tucker Kraft, you big... But you're absolutely right. And they have adjusted a lot of what they do. Now, I would argue that what I don't understand, forget, to your point, there's no question they've adjusted how they run. And I do think it's a mistake. Like the play action game, which we just grilled LaFleur about at the end of last season after they lost to the Eagles, right? I mean, at 30% of his press conference to wrap up the season was about their play action game. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen it improve much, except when they run it on like 2nd and 14 from the 10, And you're like, why are you bothering? Who are you tricking with that? But so everything for our audience, everything Gabe said is accurate and fair. I would just push back and
please
say on fourth and one, I don't care what they're thinking. They should just be running the quarterback sneak that worked
sure
for them twice earlier
sure
in the damn game.
I'm not talking about that play specifically, Jason, because I...
Well, you said that play.
I did say that play. but it's more of a larger overarching point. And TVV said something kind of similar last night on the Homer Hour. And mm-hmm. I've been kind of leading myself to a spot where I'm wondering, but I haven't said out loud if... Is it possible that this team would be better if they never signed Josh Jacobs? Which is a really weird thing to say out loud because he had a top five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers as a running back last year. But if you can't marry what you want to do offensively because you rely on this one player so much and you have to change the way you do things, like, are you better off if he wasn't a part of the team and you could do things the way that you would prefer to do them? Yeah, this is I've said it out loud now, so I guess we're here. But it's just a thought that's been pestering and festering in the back of my mind, wondering if they would be better off without Josh Jacobs, which is wild because he's their best offensive player.
Yeah, how do you feel now that you've said it?
I don't feel great. Don't feel great.
Yeah,
Feels weird to say out loud.
Yeah, I think it's a really fair point. What I would argue, and this would be, you know, for those that think that I don't criticize LaFleur enough, this would be it. Like, at some point, and they have run more zone this year than they ran last year, but because the other thing he really likes is duo blocking scheme, right? At some point, the head coach and play caller, whether it's spreading around targets or running the running game the way his running back likes it, at some point, it is incumbent on the head coach to say, no, guys, look, you guys know I love you. You guys know I want to put you guys in the most comfortable positions for you, and I want to put this offense in position to succeed. Sometimes what's most comfortable for you is not what's going to make our offense most successful. And so, you know, I'm sorry, but sometimes we need to run the stuff that I think works best. And that's not always going to put you in a position where you're the most comfortable. Now, again, if I get to talk to Josh Jacobs today, I will talk to him about that because he is awesome when you ask him tough questions. Like, he's not quite up to Charles Woodson's level during C. Wood's time with me covering him, when I could always count on, if I had a difficult question about the team, where it was at, about the defense, whatever it was, I knew Charles was going to shoot me straight. I think Josh Jacobs is the same way. I think if I get the opportunity to ask him about this, I think he will be very honest and forthcoming. And so that is on the to-do list for today. It was on there even before now when you basically said that the Packers should regret signing their best player. So I will keep your name out of it.
I appreciate that, Jason.
And I'll just focus on the shotgun part of it. But, you know, some people are saying, Josh, that it was a mistake to sign you. How do you respond to them? I love people that ask questions that way.
You know what's crazy, Jason, to me? Holmgren would never allow that in a million years. He'd be like, I don't care what you want. I'll do what I want.
And I get that, and I don't want to call you a dinosaur. But
you're about to call him a dinosaur?
No, because I am too, right? But you're right. All my buddies who covered Gruden in Tampa, because that's a long time ago too, they would all do their Gruden imitation. And one of the phrases that he would always say was, we do what we do. I was going to try mine and I'm just not up for it at 7:40. Check me again at like 9. But we do what we do. That was his philosophy, right? And that's just not the world that the NFL lives in now, whether it's the way they treat players, the way they want to adjust to what they see defensively to adjust their play to make it work better.
I understand why they did it because that's what the best coaches do. Because even Bill Belichick isn't wasn't a we do what we do guy. Belichick would switch up what he did defensively based on the personnel
right, every
he had.
Week.
Yeah, but, he would just switch things up because, hey, this is what this guy does best, even if it's not what I want him to do best.
But back to the shotgun as opposed to under center, the timing is different with the offensive line. Okay?
Yep.
When you're in the shotgun handing it off, it is different than under center. So to me, LaFleur should be able to look at that and go, the timing's screwed up here. You know, we can do the same under center or shotgun, and it's a half second difference. And things have to develop. And I understand why Josh Jacobs wants that ball quickly so he can see. But things have to develop, you know? It's got to be an orchestra. Things have to mesh. Guys have to come off at the same time. And it's just, you know, and I didn't know this, but I'm smart enough to know that the offensive line is all about timing, getting off of blocks, moving up to the next level. And if your timing is off by a half second, that could account for why they suck at running the ball. Okay, I'm done.
I'm just looking. I was going to say, I don't know if I was supposed to respond. I was looking at the clock, and I can't see Jen's face, but I'm thinking, she's thinking, oh, my God, these three idiots, just shut up enough.
No, already. I think it's great. Honestly, I think this is a conversation that we have been sort of tiptoeing around for several weeks.
Because Josh Jacobs is really good.
And nobody out there is like, I wish he wasn't on the roster. But we were discussing it during the break. If this is the type of scheme that he prefers – was this an error in, like, how did you not know this when you decided to bring him on your team? Or, you know what I'm saying? There's something in there that just feels like a miscommunication or an oversight or something of, like, wait, this is the scheme that Josh Jacobs prefers. We don't run that scheme. Are we going to change our scheme to what Josh Jacobs runs? Is Josh Jacobs willing to adjust to our scheme? Like, I would love to know if those conversations took place before they sort of just went, guys, we got Josh Jacobs, you know, because we all think that was a great addition to the offense, obviously. But it does seem like there's been some transition, learning curve, you know, a little bit of challenges there with getting him acclimated and getting the offense acclimated to him. All right, Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Get rid of Josh Jacobs. All right, guys. Take care.
You know what's
crazy
is that there's some knuckleheads out there that are going to hear this conversation and think that that's what we're saying, and it is not what we are saying. We're just trying to figure out how these two sides can coexist and have success based on what we've seen. We'll continue this conversation right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Hey, let me tell you about our good friends at Events by Design. Saw them up at the Trio this past week. Always good to see them, hang out with them. But they can boost your culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. I've seen them do huge, big, grand events like the Buck Soiree. I've seen them do little things like add to our golf outing. So anything in between those two, a big soiree inside Fiserv Forum, or just playing music in walk-up songs for our partners on the 14th hole, the ESPN Milwaukee Open, anything in between that, that's where Events by Design can come in and help you. So you can retain top talent by investing in your culture today, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.